Yo-ho, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Friday, March the 1st, 2019. And on this episode, I want to talk to you about the discipline of difficulty. The discipline of difficulty. So here we go.
Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers around the world? Gets a little crazy up in here, you know what I'm saying?
So here we go.
Drop! You need this, dude. I need this, dude. We all need this.
Hey, all the time.
You need this, dude. I need this, dude. We all need this. So here we go. What does it really mean to be a man?
What
is manliness?
So here we go.
What is the essence of true masculinity?
Dude.
Listen to me.
Hey.
Who do we look to as a living example of manliness?
Yo.
My brothers from other mothers. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Always keeping it raw, real, and relevant.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
The whole mission of this podcast is to help guide, encourage, and equip Christian dudes like you to live the manly life that God's calling us to live. My brothers from other mothers.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Always keeping it raw, real, and relevant.
Welcome to the Grizz Podcast.
Man, that is a musical intro that I've played before here on the podcast. It's been a while. That was composed by one of my friends and one of our listeners, the music producer who goes by the name Adam. Adam, thank you again so much for putting that together. It's pretty cool, man. It is March 1st, and it is freaking freezing outside. I got a hot cup of coffee here, just heated it up for like 2 minutes in my microwave, so it's piping hot. It's leftover from this morning. Had to put the dogs upstairs because they were down here with me in the old Grizz cave. But they make too much noise, and then they get picked up in the background, and then you're trying to listen to the podcast, and you're like, what the heck is that noise? Like, what's that gnawing? What's that jingle? What's that growling? It's the dogs, man. It's the crazy dogs. I think I told you guys, I got a big yellow lab. He's 10 years old, named Ruger. But on my wife's birthday on January 18th, I got her a chocolate lab puppy. His name is Remington. We call him Remy. And I love him, and my wife loves him, but you know how it goes, man. The kids say that they're going to help out when we get a new puppy. That lasted for all of about a week, and now we got to force them to help out, take the dog for a walk, help clean up the poop in the yard. And you know who ends up doing a lot of it? Old dad. That's how it is, man, the dad life. But no use in complaining, man. What song is that from? I think that's Bryan Adams. Ain't no use in complaining when you got a job to do. Down at the drive-in, and that's where I met you, yeah. That's summer of 69. I love me some Bryan Adams. Anyway, here's what I got for you guys. I was reading this morning for my personal devos. I opened my Bible. I read a little bit in Genesis, and then I found tucked away in my Bible a page that I had ripped out of Oswald Chambers' book, the devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. I literally ripped this page out, dude, because it was so good. I wanted to carry it with me. I was like, man, I need this. Because at the time when I ripped it out, I was in like a serious funk. And I'm not talking about the good kind of funk, like up in the club, getting funky, you know. I'm not talking about that, man, like, you know, disco. I was in a funk, like just down in a rut going through it because I was in a lot of pain. I'm still in a lot of pain sometimes going through chronic Lyme disease, and it's connected with migraine headaches. And now my doctor's telling me how much this thing affects my nervous system and my dopamine levels and serotonin. And I'm like, would that have any means of like contributing to why I'm really feel stressed and anxiety, like I'm gonna jump out of my skin a lot of times, and why I had to get on some medicine? And she's like, oh, no doubt. And I'm like, okay, I thought I was just going crazy. But so all of this, like a year ago, man, it was just building up everything I was going through. And I was mad because I felt like I couldn't work the way I wanted to work physically. Just didn't have energy. I was sick of having to take naps and take Epsom salt baths. And I'm taking like 20 freaking vitamins and supplements and pills. And then there's so many, I lose track. My memory is crap most days. And I'm just like, did I take my medicine? I don't know. Well, I don't want to take it twice. Then I could kill myself, right? Oh, no, you won't kill yourself, but, you know, you'll get psoriasis of the liver or something. Sounds like one of those crazy commercials, you know. If you take this med, watch out for the side effects, you know. So I was really down, but when I read this page from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, it just really spoke to me, and it got on me about what the real Christian life is really like. So here's what I did, man, is I've read it just dozens of times, but I read it this morning, and I actually turned it into a modern-day paraphrase, and that's what I want to share with you guys, because a lot of what Oswald says, the way he words things, the phrases he uses, some of the actual terms, a lot of guys wouldn't get it. At least I don't. You know, I had to, you know, bust out the old dictionary, look things up. What's he really saying? And so I came up with a paraphrase. But I just need to preface and say what you're about to hear is from the Grizz, but ultimately the whole gist, the ideology here of what I'm going to say with the discipline of difficulty, it comes from Oswald Chambers, who is from the book, the best-selling devotional book of all time, over 13 million copies sold, My Utmost for His Highest. So let me pull that up. I hope I didn't jack up Oswald's whole intent of what he was saying. I don't think I did. I think I gave it due diligence. Anyway, here we go. The discipline of difficulty, the Grizz paraphrase. In this fallen world, you're going to hit hard times, but I've overcome this fallen world. So keep your head up and rejoice. John 16:33. The common view of the Christian life is that it means God will deliver us from hard times, but that's an unbiblical view. The real Christian life is all about Him delivering us in hard times, and that's totally different. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, there, in that place, no evil will crush him. God is saying that no evil can come near when you are in that place or that state where you are at one with God. If you're a genuine child of God, then you are most definitely going to meet up with hard times, period. That's how it is. That's life on the narrow and difficult trail. But our Lord told us not to be surprised at that reality. He says to us, in this fallen world, you're going to hit hard times, but I've overcome this fallen world. So keep your head up and rejoice, because there's nothing for you to fear. Men who scorned talking about hard times before they were Christ followers often become a wreck after they're born again, because they have a completely wrong idea of what following Christ truly involves. It's not a walk on the paved nature trail at your local park. At times, it feels like you're being dropped into Taliban-infested Afghanistan with an American flag wrapped around you. Here's the real truth about following Christ. God doesn't give us overcoming life. He actually gives us life as we overcome. The struggle is the strength. If there's no struggle, then there's no strength. Let me ask you, are you asking God to give you life, freedom, and joy? That's not going to happen unless you will first accept the struggle. And then, immediately, when you man up and face the struggle, you will get His strength. Overcome your own fear and take the step of faith, and God will give you spiritual food and nourishment from His tree of life to strengthen you for whatever difficulties you are facing. When guys like David Goggins, retired Navy SEAL, I'm reading his book right now, it's right beside me, called Can't Hurt Me. When guys like David Goggins compete in an ultra marathon, which he does, they finish it utterly exhausted, wiped out, spent, even being pushed in a wheelchair to his vehicle when the ultra marathon is over. He can't move. But here's the thing. When you strain yourself spiritually to become a better man in Christ, your inner man actually gets energized and stronger. You see, God never gives you strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only for this present moment. And one of the big temptations is to face your current difficulty with an outlook of quote-unquote common sense. But that's not how we roll anymore as Christ followers. We don't live by common sense. We live by faith. The Christ follower who keeps himself dwelling in the secret place of the Most High will actually possess an inner joy even when encountering horrible difficulties. It's because that man knows that the difficulties are so utterly impossible for him to handle on his own, but they are nothing for the God who holds him in his hand. That right there is my best attempt at a paraphrase of Oswald Chambers' The Discipline of Difficulty, August 2nd, My Utmost for His Highest. In the show notes, I will put an Amazon link if you would like to purchase that incredible devotional book. As I said, My Utmost for His Highest has sold over 13 million copies. It remains the best-selling devotional of all time. But old Oswald, he never received a dime of the royalties. But it's no worries, man, because that brother is presently enjoying far better royalties in heaven right now. He's in the presence of the Lord. And as I say all the time, Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I was thinking back how I first learned of this amazing devotional book when I was in college. One of my heroes of the faith, Jerry Falwell Sr., often quoted from it when he spoke to the students at Liberty University. Falwell routinely said that every morning before he began his day, he prayed, read his Bible, and also read from My Utmost for His Highest. My roommate at the time, who often works security, not just on campus, but outside of Falwell's home for the night shift, told me it was all true, that without fail, the light came on in Falwell's study every single morning at 5 a.m. That's really how Falwell began his day, every day, meeting alone with God. And he constantly challenged us students at Liberty University to develop the same habit of beginning our day meeting with God. My roommate, Andrew was his name, went on to say that even when Falwell would come home very late at night from flying in from some media interview in New York City or speaking at some event on the West Coast or whatever, it was still click, 5 a.m., the study light goes on, and Falwell is again meeting with God. I remember sitting in our dorm room as Andrew's telling me all of this, and I specifically remember him saying to me, "Jay, that Falwell man, he is the real deal. He lives what he says. He really does meet with God every single morning before he begins his day." Man, you guys, you have no idea how deeply those words, that fact, impacted and motivated me to begin making that a habit, here we go with habits, in my own life as a young Christ follower. It definitely took some time to solidify, but it has been a part of my morning routine for over 20 years now, to begin my day in some sort of way spending time with God, all because Falwell was the real deal. Let me grab a sip of my coffee again. I still believe to this day that the amazing things that God did through Jerry Falwell Sr. to advance his kingdom here on earth was a direct result of Falwell habitually habits meeting with God every single morning before he did anything else. Before breakfast, before family, before board meetings, before interviews, before preaching, whatever. I believe that's the primary means God used to keep Falwell in alignment, growing, full of faith, and useful for his kingdom. You guys should definitely check out the biography that Maisel Falwell, his wife, wrote about him after he died. I'm not kidding. I cried through most of it because, unfortunately, it's just so freaking rare to find a Christian leader slash pastor who actually lives what he preaches on and off the stage or walking around campus, goofing off with us students at Liberty, or when he was hanging with just his wife, kids, and grandkids. Jay, that Falwell, he's the real deal, man. Those words from my roommate, Andrew, they still play out in my head. And when I read that biography of Falwell from his own wife, they testified to that. That Falwell, he's the real deal, man. So he's the dude that got me reading Oswald Chambers, and I'm sure glad he did. He's the dude that got me having a habit of starting my day in some way meeting with God. I still just hear those words, man. Falwell. He's the real deal, man. I believe that you want that set of your life. And so do I. But let me ask you, what habits do you have in place that are going to help you turn into that kind of a man? Are you often taking time to, as the scripture says, dwell in the secret place in the Most High? Are you taking time and really doing your best on a daily basis to just keep yourself at one with God, like Oswald Chambers says? And man, I know it's hard. It's a fight, man. We're not monks in a monastery. Most of us listening to this podcast, I don't think there's any monks that listen to the Grizz. It's hard. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a discipline. Dude, I know. I'm not a monk in a monastery. I'm married. I got three kids, three teenagers. I got two dogs, crazy dogs. I'm leading a ministry. And I'm trying to run a small business where I restore people's decks and I paint. And you know what? I often feel overwhelmed. I never finish my to-do list. And I wake up some mornings and it's so easy for me to begin my day checking emails, checking text messages, or just looking at social media. How many likes did I get? Who made a comment on this? Oh, what did they post? Oh, that's funny. Or watching Fox News with a cup of coffee, or watching SportsCenter, or just rushing out the door because I woke up late, get my son to school, and then I just end up flipping on Ben Shapiro and listening to his podcast. Or I don't do any of that, and I just get right to it. I get right to my to-do list, and I start trying to knock things out. And so there's some days I don't meet with God first, but that's not my norm. That's not my routine. But I'm telling you guys that, trust me, I still have to fight for it. Sometimes inside of me, there's this part of me, which I believe is my sinful flesh or it could be just the spiritual forces of darkness that are coming against me, getting in my head. Some mornings, man, like everything in me says, do anything but spend time with God. Like, I don't feel it. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like listening to worship music. I don't feel like doing any of that. It happened to me last week. I was like, well, you know, you rushed out the door. You got your son to school. You're at the gym. You know, don't turn on music. Start your day listening to John MacArthur. My daughter just came home from school, so you might hear her in the background. And I wanted to listen to this John MacArthur message, but this other part of me didn't. So, man, I had to fight through that. And I was like, I don't care what I feel. I'm going to do what's right. I know I need this, so I'm going to do it. So I went into the gym and I hammered some weights out. I'm on week 9 of sticking with weight training, making it a habit. But I was, you know, people saw my headphones on. They probably thought I was listening to some hype music, which I do a lot of times. But it was John MacArthur talking to me about what it means to be a man of God from the book of Timothy. This morning, I was getting ready, you know, took a shower and was making my bed and cleaning up and everything like that. Yes, I make my bed. And I was just listening and singing along to some old hymns that were playing on my phone from iTunes by the music group Shane and Shane. Anyway, let me grab a sip of coffee. I've read through My Utmost for His Highest, man, so many times. But that paraphrase I gave you, man, the one that comes from that, the day, August 2nd is the day, the devotion for the day, the discipline of difficulty. As I said, man, I ripped that page out and I stuck it in my Bible to carry it with me constantly. I mean, because at that time, as I said, I was just constantly, I was in a rut and I was constantly just female dogging about all my constant pain and medical issues related to chronic Lyme disease. You know what I mean by female dogging? That's the good Christian way of saying bitching. All right. I just want to clarify. I knew that I needed those words by Chambers. I knew I would often need to read them, to mentally just mull them over, pray over them until it starts flushing out my own Christian life. So let me wrap up, guys. I don't know what specific difficulty or hard time you're facing right now, but my sincere hope and prayer is that these paraphrased words from this man of God, Oswald Chambers, that I read to you, that they will genuinely guide, encourage, and equip you to keep stepping up, manning up, to live the life that God's calling you to live. I know it is often hard, but hard is what we do. That's manly. Quit being a wuss. Quit being a wimp, man. I mean, there's this, I read this good quote. Dude, it's the quote of the week for me, man, from Teddy Roosevelt. I posted it on the closed Facebook group for the Grizz Tribe. I'm pulling it up right now. I got to read it to you, man. I know it, but I don't want to jack it up. You know what I'm saying? Say it the wrong way. Come on, my computer's going so slow right now. Internet. Where is it at? Oh, there it is. The Grizz Tribe closed Facebook group. My point in reading this is, like I was saying, I know it gets hard, but hard is what we do. And I'm sick of Christian guys whining and complaining about how hard the Christian life is. What'd you sign up for, Skippy? Okay? That's why I always say, step up and man up. Like the Navy SEALs say, the only easy day was yesterday. That's another great quote. I got to remind myself of that often. I've thought about getting it tattooed on my forearm. Not for everyone else to see and go, oh, that's so cool, man. You a SEAL? For me to see it, be like, no, I'm not a SEAL, but I need their reminder. Here's Teddy Roosevelt. Here's the quote I posted. Complaining about a problem without posing a solution. It's called whining. That's so good. I see my buddy Scott here on the Grizz Tribe Close Facebook group. He posted a really cool quote today. It says, smooth waters do not make a smooth waters do not a skilled sailor make. That's good, man. That goes with what I'm talking about. Anyway, you guys should read or listen to the audiobook of the biography of Oswald Chambers and how his wife is the one who composed this devotional after his death. She did it from shorthanded notes that she took from his lectures to young soldiers. I mean, it's incredible. And he too was another man that was the real deal. Dude faithfully served in the trenches, and he ended up dying an early death. And the funny thing is, you know, that the dude never intended any of what he taught these young soldiers to become a best-selling book that would impact millions of believers around the world. So in the show notes, I will also put an Amazon link for his biography. You should get that, man. It's really good. My brothers from other mothers, keep fighting the fight every single day. If you fell this week, then get up, confess it, acknowledge it, talk to God about it, talk to a stronger brother about it, get it out, repent, turn from it, do whatever it takes to separate from it and to prevent it from happening again, and then walk in the grace of God. We are not held in God's hand by our perfectness or our good works or how well we do. We were saved by the grace of God and we're held by the grace of God. But let's not abuse that grace of God to go do whatever we want. Let's let that love and that grace of God motivate us to live the life that he's called us to live. To step up, to man up, to be grizzin'. I'm out.
Been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.